There are a lot of words in these songs. I don't know if you've done these. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Do you remember that one at all? The Lord is my salvation.
That one's kind of hard.
Yeah. And then only a holy God.
I know that one. Yeah.
You know these all for sign language?
That one's kind of hard, but I think We might do it when Grandma's here.
Let me see what Sammy says. Do you remember all these songs at all? Yet not I, but through Christ in me. The Lord is my salvation. Only a holy God. You know the songs, but I mean, do you want to sign them or no?
I'll sign. Almost every song has at least a lot of the words we know to sign. So I would just sign those words, even though I probably don't.
Okay. So you want to do it anyways, no matter what? Do you guys want to do it with Sammy, too? Sure. Okay, so you just sign whatever words you know, okay, I guess. Is that okay? All right. Good job, guys. All right, good morning, everyone. We'll get going. If you don't love the heat, we have two fans overhead. You can try and sneak in that row and get under there if you need to. Right here in the front is great, really nice. You're more than welcome to move up wherever is comfortable. And if you like it hot, find a back corner somewhere. Are there any announcements today that are not in the bulletin? Not many announcements in the bulletin right now. There's a bunch of people healing up from all sorts of different surgeries and complications. My mom is still in the hospital. She'll be in the hospital possibly two or three more weeks, I believe. They're trying to get rid of infections that keep popping up kind of all over the place. She's got three or four drains in her abdomen right now, trying to get rid of infections and fluid. And she's got a feeding tube in her nose and all sorts of things going on. The doctors still seem positive about it, and they keep being encouragement to her. And I know Lynette was just out here with Sandra yesterday and said she was doing a lot better yesterday, getting some food down. I don't think they're feeding her with a feeding tube right now. It's just kind of in case she doesn't eat enough, and they're trying to make sure she stays hydrated. Anything else, Lynette, that I might have missed from that? Yeah. Bring cherries, yeah. Every now and then she has like a favorite thing that she wants, whether it's grape juice or different drinks or something hits just right, and then that goes away and it's the next thing. So probably a lot of home, tastes of home are good for her right now. My dad had surgery on Wednesday, had his Achilles tendon put back on and a bone spur kind of cut off at the same time. So he's at home healing from that. He's got a little knee scooter that he gets around with, but he's not really supposed to do much at all. So if you want to stop in and say hi to him, he is a very social person, in case you don't know that. And I stopped in for a minute, and he talked for quite a while. which is not unusual, but I know that he, if he doesn't see enough people, he needs to get some company, just chat with somebody. Let's see, who else? There was somebody else who just had a procedure as well. Cheryl, yeah. Cheryl, I'm not sure where she was this morning. We stopped at her house but didn't see a car, so maybe she's out and about, or... Oh, you have the car? Okay, so maybe she was there. We didn't knock, though. We assumed she was gone somewhere. Okay. So, yeah, Cheryl had knee replacement surgery, and she's healing up from that. How's she doing, Janet? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not only do they have restless leg, but they're both very stubborn and active people. So with that combined, it's not good for healing. But they are doing well, and my dad is being much more careful so that he can heal up and take care of my mom. So you can definitely pray for them. Andrew Strine sent me a text message. He wanted me to make an announcement that Monday, June 21st, probably around 6 o'clock, they would have a quick business meeting just to discuss some possible upgrades to the facility. And one of those big things is a new lawnmower. It's time to upgrade the lawnmower, and it's expensive, but it's necessary when you're mowing this many acres, especially if you're the one bouncing around the lawn and trying not to die and slide into a ditch out here. It's good to have a nice mower that does a good job that you can trust to start up and keep going. So again, that first meeting, business meeting, will be Monday, July 21st, around 6 o'clock. Any updates on that from the trustees, or does that sound right? Okay. All right. Sounds good. So we just need to make sure the church is aware and that they're okay with those upgrades. Anything else? If not, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us each and every day. Help us to go back to your word where we know the truth is found. Help us to be diligent in reading and understanding in coming together to hear the word read and taught. Thank you for Sunday school teachers who are faithful to teach and for people throughout the years who have been faithful to teach the people in this church, their children and their children's children. I just thank you for a place that has been built, every brick by hand of its members, and that we've been able to enjoy for so many years. I thank you for the work that you've been doing in the lives of my family through surgeries and and just being well taken care of by the church family here. Pray for Cheryl as well as she's healing up. Continue to help her to rest and to get up and to walk when she needs to. And that you continue to encourage the church family to take care of all of them. Thank you, God, for the blessings that we know of and those that we miss. That every breath is a gift. And that your grace is never ending. And that your patience does not run out. We thank you for all those things. In Jesus' name, amen. And I have a cold, which is really hard. You know, as a man, the man cold is difficult. 172, all the way my Savior leads me. 172 in your new hymnals, all the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22, in the Pew Bible, the reading will come on page 958, if you want to use that. I'd like us to read together Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Pew Bible is the NIV. If you have NIV, you can turn there on your own or turn to the Pew Bible. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, and we'll read those together. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Then I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 6. It's the background of where that command is given. When Jesus gives that response, he's pointing them back to the Old Testament. And as Israel is getting ready to enter the Promised Land, here is the reminders that Moses gives them, as well as some of the implications of how they respond to that. So we'll look at this as a background to where we're speaking today. "These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them in symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and to give us the land that he promised on an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.
You can turn in your hymnals to page 380. It's the new hymnals. My Jesus, I love thee. 380 in the new books. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou.
have a time for sharing some prayer requests and praises you may have. Brenda. What was the last thing? They sent her home with what? Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are reminded from the scripture reading today the importance of having our loves rightly prioritized, and that we should be loving you, God, above all else. Help us to do that. Help us to appreciate all that you have done for us, all that you continue to do for us, the mercies that you show us. Help us to fear you, to remember how holy you are, and yet you still love us. You still show us favor. Help us to be thankful for all the good things that you do for us, all the undeserved favor that we have, all the, again, that mercy that we receive because of your goodness. We thank you for that. We praise you for Bethany Camp and for all the kids that can go there and grow and have a wonderful experience. We thank you for Caden, that he had a good time at camp this last week. And just pray for that ministry throughout this summer. Pray for Brenda's sister, Cindy, and even though they have not found a specific cause for her issues, but that she is able to be home and that they have found ways to help her, please continue to work in that situation. We pray also for Linda and the balance issues there, Lord. We pray you continue to work and to bring healing in both those cases, Lord. We pray for Ed's friend Chuck, and thank you that there is improvement there, even though it looks like it's going to be a long, long road, but we know that you are capable. Praise that this would be opportunities to for him to experience and to know your goodness. And reminded also of your creation, and even your creation recognizes the goodness of mankind to provide help, Lord, even in a little woodchuck on a lake. It's a reminder of your goodness, Lord, and the wonders of your creation. Again, we praise you on behalf of Lynette and Sandra and Anita and how you arrange to have good visits between siblings, even in the midst of difficulty, Lord. We pray for Anita's situation. We pray that you would continue to act on her behalf and pray for wisdom for doctors there. And we just thank you for the siblings that you give us, the times that we can share together. We praise you for your goodness, Lord, all the wonderful things that you do for us, even in the midst of our sinfulness. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more in heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ. the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on the solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. God, strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and a victory won. The Lord is my salvation. My hope is hidden in the Lord. He flowers his promise of his word. When winter fades, I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. In times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, I know His grace will renew these days. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord, our God, strong to save, my debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. And when I reach the final day, He will not leave me in the grave. God, strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. So glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation. Glory be. So glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit.
is our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our salvation.
I asked the kids if they wanted to sign today. And if they knew these songs, and they knew the songs, but they didn't necessarily know all the signs. So what they're doing right now is reading ahead and just picking out whatever words they know and signing. So it's a great testimony to their character and to just the work of Cheryl and their willingness to kind of come up and keep doing it, even though they don't know all the signs. It's great to see. It's amazing to watch, actually. Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold. The glory consumes like fire. What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Come and behold. Behold him. Come and behold the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy forever, a holy God. Come and worship a holy God. Who else could rescue me from my failing? Who else could offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the
the one and the only. cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship a holy God.
Amen. You may be seated.
We'll primarily be in, We'll primarily be in 2 Kings 18, but also with background from 2 Chronicles. But I had our scripture reading today because during Jesus' earthly ministry, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And his answer, as we read, was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In another account in Luke 10, he directs a man to that same answer when the man asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he sends him right back to that same command given in Deuteronomy 6. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That command found in Deuteronomy 6 is preparing Israel to enter the promised land. They've wandered 40 years in the wilderness. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, and the Lord reminds them of what we think of as the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 5, those are laid out. And then he follows up with this command. And it's a command that's a foundational principle for a blessed life and to allow you to be a blessing to others. And one of the things I hope you picked up a little bit on when you were hearing Deuteronomy 6 in that scripture reading was the reminder through there of the Lord talking about how he would bless them if they would love him with their whole heart and would heed instructions. He said, "And walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land." He talks about long life. He says, be careful to do so that it will go well with you. In Deuteronomy 6:18, he says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. In Deuteronomy 6:24 and 25, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we may always prosper and be careful and be kept alive. Careful to obey, that will be our righteousness. And then in that, it also reminded you that this command to love the Lord ought to be a central focus in your life. It says that it ought to be on your heart. You ought to impress it on your children. It's something that you ought to be trying to emphasize with them. It ought to talk about it in your daily life. Even write it down, post these commands and instructions so that they're in front of you and are reminded of them. But when we say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, what's that look like in practical terms? Well, I want you in 2 Kings 18 today to see in the life of Hezekiah what it means in practical terms in a person's life journey to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And we will see over the next 3 weeks some lessons from his life journey, some greatly changing circumstances and other things that transpire. But in this initial one, the first 8 verses, particularly of 2 Kings, it reminds us of what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, or you will obey what I command. And we're reminded we love God because he first loved us. And that this is how we know God showed his love among us. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So we're reminded of God's love and the loving relationship he has for us. But a loving relationship with God is demonstrated in our desire to do what pleases him. We know He loves us and has our best interest in mind, and therefore we can respond in loving obedience and willing faith. And so when we come to 2 Kings 18 in the story of Hezekiah, a little background here. Hezekiah is only 25 years old when this story begins. His father before him had been king and been one of the most ungodly kings in Israel's history. And you can read about some of the impact of that in the chapter before. And so he didn't come with all the things in place for him. He faced some challenges, but in the process, he positioned himself to be blessed. Thinking back to what we read in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And to do that, he begins to say, then you need to heed my commandments. You need to live out these things. And as you do so, I will be blessed. So in verse 3 of this particular chapter, it says of Hezekiah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So his ancestral father, King David, was an example of one who was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord with all his heart and his soul and his mind. He had many failings and other things in his life, but he repented. He always loved the Lord and wanted to be back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation was part of the description that he gives in his life. In 2 Chronicles 31, in a parallel passage that sums up Hezekiah's life, says, he was doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God in everything that he undertook in the service of God, temple, and in obedience to the law and the commandments. He sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. So Hezekiah put himself in a position to be blessed by wholeheartedly committing to lovingly obey God's instructions, doing what is right and what God had commanded. And he demonstrated that in this particular passage, and starting in verse 4, by removing all the aids and instruments of idolatry and of traditional worship that had replaced genuine relationship with God. In fact, in that particular instance, it brings up the interesting, says the bronze serpent. Remember the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness? He said people were kind of treating that as a sacred relic and even including that worship. And he took that and broke it up and destroyed it. I imagine that caused a little ruckus, don't you? Here's something that's been around hundreds of years that we have put in the wrong place. And so it had to be removed. How did he know what was right in God's eyes? That he did what was right in God's eyes, how did he know? We're told very clearly that he said he followed the Lord's command and he did what the word of God said. In fact, he committed himself in covenant faithfulness to God. In 2 Chronicles 29:10, he says, now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. You know, covenants are something where you commit yourself to, bind yourself to something with the purpose of establishing a strong relationship and growing and going forward. When you joined this church, one of the things that you did is committed yourself to the church covenant. Do you remember what you committed yourself to? That's a good assignment. If you don't, I'll make copies available next week just to remind you. Here, I made a covenant with God and with the local church. Why? Because I want to have my relationship with God be thriving. And I know that it takes commitment, and I know it takes planning, that if I just let things flow, it's not going to happen in a healthy way. But in this passage, it all reminds us what characteristics in his life were the underpinnings to loving the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his mind. So start in 2 Kings 18, verse 5. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. So we're reminded of four little things here that were a part of those characteristics. The first one is trust. He had faith in God and his word. Hezekiah believed God. He had absolute confidence in God and his word, and he was committed to putting it into practice. We're told in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and the officials ordered, following the word of the Lord. And so that was the instructions. Remember how old I said Hezekiah was when this story started? It tells you at the beginning of the chapter. 25. You trust your nation's leader if he was 25 years old? Would you trust the next pastor that shows up in his church if he's 25 years old? See, it's not age, it's relationship to God and commitment. And there's strengths and weaknesses at any age. But here was Hezekiah. He trusted God. He stepped out to make changes because he believed God and he believed God's promises. In 2 Chronicles 30, verses 6 to 9, he's telling these people, you know what's happened to us because my dad and our nations were far from God. And we've had all sorts of difficult and terrible things happen in our country. And he says to them, return to the Lord that he may return to you. Serve the Lord that his anger might be turned away, and you will be shown compassion. We, like Hezekiah, need to translate our knowledge into faith and into confidence in God, that we trust him enough to act in obedience to his word. The second word that came up there was that he held fast to the Lord. It's a picture of loyalty. It's that little word to cleave. We know in Genesis 2, when it talked about marriage, man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's used of Ruth. Ruth said to Naomi, don't ask me to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Where your people will be my people. Where you die, I'm going to die. And it was this idea of glued together and sticking together. We're reminded again of the importance of a commitment to the Lord. It says he held fast to the Lord. We're in this together. He knows that if I don't hang on to the Lord, it's going to bring disastrous results in my life. It's often the Lord had said, and through Joshua and others, choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's who we're going to hold fast to and we're committed to. And so there's this commitment of will and heart and desire to do what honors the Lord. And you see that played out in this story about what he did with the temple and with sacrifices and with worship. That loyalty to God was demonstrated in commitment to the place of worship and those involved there. And again, we're challenged throughout the scripture of the importance of our commitment to one another as believers and as the body of Christ, that we need to adhere not only to the Lord but to one another and to put into practice those one another commands that are essential to healthy worship. The third phrase there, the underlying characteristics, is said he was a follower. He did not cease to follow God. It wasn't a temporary or short-term action to follow God. You know, loving the Lord and walking isn't just you went up an aisle and made a statement or accepted Jesus as your Savior and that's it, and then you go on. It's a lifetime commitment. It's a long journey in the same direction. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, in the background in 2 Chronicles 30, Hezekiah in his prayer talks about everyone who sets his or her heart in seeking God. There was that following after, seeking the Lord with all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The fourth underlying characteristic is the description there in verse 6, that he kept the commandments the Lord had given Moses. Are we faithfully committed to obedience to God's word and conforming our life in the big things and the little things? In the Chronicles background, as he's challenging the people about their walk with God, he reminds us sometimes our failures to obey is negligence. He says, don't be negligent now like your fathers were and their unfaithfulness. And they're just, you know, we live a life full of good intentions. Is your spiritual life based on good intentions that are never followed through on? And here's this reminder, don't be negligent. Put in the effort. Be consistent. Sometimes it's stubbornness. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 8 says, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but submit to the Lord. We can dig our heels in pretty hard sometimes. We can be so compliant to the Lord in many areas, and then there's just some area that we just are unwilling to let go, and the stubbornness that holds us back. But I love the description that it gives as a result of his, he showed his love for the Lord in this pattern of consistent obedience that was based on trusting the Lord, on commitment to the Lord, on following through in a consistent manner and doing what the Lord commanded. And it says in verse 7 and 8, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. And then it gives a description of some of those things that involved. Assyria was the biggest conquering empire in the world at that time, wiping out nation after nation. And it says under Hezekiah, they weren't in subservience to Assyria. They were free from them. It says he was able to defeat his Philistine enemies and expand his kingdom, and the Lord was blessing him in all those ways. Again, at the end of his summary of ministry in 2 Chronicles 31:21, it says, and so he prospered. But one of the other things that stood out to me about Hezekiah is in 2 Chronicles, and I want you to turn there with me. I've referred to 2 Chronicles, but if you go to 2 Chronicles, we'll be skimming some highlights out of chapters 29 to 31. Hezekiah was not only blessed by God, but he was a blessing to other people because he directed and helped them to get in their right place in their life with God. He led the nation in getting right with God. So Hezekiah, chapter 29, was 25 years old and he became king. And it gives a description. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And verse 3, in the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square and said, listen to me, consecrate yourself now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, your God of your ancestors, and remove all these defilements that our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of our Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord and turned their backs on him. They shut up the thing. They stopped all these things. It gives us very vivid description. But he led the nation in getting right with God. One of the sad things we see happening in our nation, and it's for a variety of reasons, how many churches do you see closed up one after another? A lot of churches that I drive by and go in different places that I recognized as active functioning for the Lord at one point are now boarded up or turned into something else. Part of that's moving population, other things, but at the core of it is what? People don't love the Lord their God with all their heart and their soul and their mind, and they aren't committed to putting him first in their life, so therefore their good intentions don't provide enough to sustain what needs to go on, to allow a church to function and to be a place of worship. That happened in Israel. The main center of church of worship in the whole nation was shut down. For years. Imagine that. In fact, part of it was they weren't supporting the priests and the Levites, so they all had to go try to care for themselves somewhere else. And so they weren't there to even try to lead in any kind of way. So he exercised spiritual leadership. He challenged the priests and the Levites to consecrate themselves. He has seen what happens when people don't walk with God with their whole heart. He saw it in his own dad's life. There's a description there of the impact in his father's rules that's given in 2 Chronicles 29, 6 through 9. But he also saw it in the nation of Israel. In the verses after what we read in 2 Kings 18, 9 through 12, it says, and Assyria basically came in and wiped out the nation of Israel. And the description at the end was, because they did not heed the Lord's command and lived their life in disregard of God. So he saw firsthand the devastating results of what was going on. So he emphasizes, let's worship the Lord and make that a central focus in our life and ministry. And that means, among other things, that we need to begin to support those that are involved in ministry. We need to be willing to give. It's fun to read in this passage. Things get really exciting. You can stand for God individually and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all by yourself, and you need to do that. But it gets exciting when a lot of people start making that same kind of commitment. And you see it in the nation of Israel when Hezekiah begins to lead, what begins to happen down through here. So in 2 Chronicles 29, starting with verse 27, Hezekiah gives the order to sacrifice the burnt offering. And as the offering began, singing to the Lord began, also accompanied by trumpets and instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly bowed in worship while the musicians played, the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the sacrifice of burnt offering was completed. And when the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshiped. And King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed down and worshiped. And a little further down in verse 36, it says that all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. And when people commit their heart to the Lord and begin to work together, the Lord brings dramatic change often. And it was exciting to see this in the nation. In fact, as you go into the next chapter, they got the basic things going, and then they wanted to celebrate the Passover, which hadn't taken place for a long time. And he even sent out invitations. The northern tribes of Israel had been run off the land, taken captive, but there were still remnants of them around. And Hezekiah sends out the invitation, come and celebrate the Passover with us, which is a reminder of God's deliverance of bringing us out of Egypt. And when he sent out that invitation, starting verse 10 and following, some of the people ridiculed and made fun of him. But other people humbled themselves and came. And it says, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind. And that unity of mind was to follow the king's orders and to follow the word of God. It tells us in there that some people followed willing and other people were shamed into it. They began to see other people living for the Lord, and they said, I guess I need to get my act together and take those steps. But they celebrated together. In verse 21, it says, they celebrated the festival unleavened bread with 7 days with great rejoicing, praising the Lord with music. And Hezekiah encouraged the Levites, and they're encouraging the people in worship, but those that are leading worship. And you know what they decided to do? Says, this is so great, we want another week. We want another week of the same thing. So it says they committed themselves to another week of rejoicing. And the entire assembly rejoiced, and there was great rejoicing in Jerusalem. Don't you love great events of celebration around worship and other things? We don't do as much of that as we sometimes used to do. The closest we get sometimes now is going to Christian concerts or other things. But to go to different organizations and groups where you have hundreds I've gone to different men's conferences, 700 or 800 men there with a whole heart for the Lord, singing, praising God, committing themselves to. Those are great events. What happens when the event's over? See, that's part of the serious question in this thing, too. Those kind of events, and even Sunday, you need to come here to worship God, to celebrate together, to be encouraged, but then you got to go out of here and do what? You got to go home and live for the Lord all the rest of the week. And it's not always fun, and it has a lot of challenges that come with it. In this instance, it says that when they went home and started cleaning out all the idols, and what they had come to worship God made them realize, I need to get rid of all this other baggage that's holding me back. And they did that. But it's interesting, Hezekiah basically had to spell out to Judah what a loving obedience to God looked like. And as you read through this description, and I'm just giving you the highlights, it's well worth reading 2 Chronicles 29 through 31 to see what it looks like. But he clarified duties and gave assignments and he made demands. He put a structure in place to make sure that the nation would be able to maintain or help them to maintain that loving relationship with the Lord. You know, it takes a day-to-day commitment. It takes people accepting responsibilities and fulfilling tasks to keep sustaining that kind of relationship. It's what makes a local church thrive. It's faithful, committed people at the core of doing the kinds of things that are foundational to our love for the Lord. And so here's some of the things he said to him. He said, you need to clean up your lives and clean up the temple. You need to deal with sin. In chapter 31, the first couple of verses here, he says, you need to fulfill your duties. You need to give generously. He said, one of the reasons you're held back, you're not providing for the priests and Levites. They can't do their job. You know why? Because they got to go home and try to make something enough to feed their families because nobody's supporting them and allowing them to carry on these ministries. He said you need to be wise stewards. He put, you know, when he asked people to give generously, you know what happened? He said they responded so generously that heaps of things piled up and they had to put somebody in charge of taking care of it and see that it was appropriately distributed and taken care of. But again, it's exciting things happen when we're in it together trying to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. When I go back to that command at the beginning, God called you to be his child. He demonstrated his love by sending his son to be your Savior. He calls us in response. What ought to underpin your life is that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I love because he first loved me. In Hezekiah's life and in our life, that's demonstrated when you trust God. Trust him enough to obey him, even when you don't know what the outcome is, that you're loyally committed to him, that you're following his instructions in your life, even through hard and difficult times. We miss out on God's blessings, both individually and collectively, as much or more by neglect than we do flagrant sin. You know, we don't see the flagrant idolatry and other things. There's plenty of things like that, but it's often neglect, just lack of putting the priority of my relationship with God first. The Church of Jesus Christ needs people who love the Lord wholeheartedly. A willingness to stand alone when necessary, but when a bunch of people get together and love the Lord wholeheartedly, things can get pretty exciting. You had some exciting times in the life of your church. Some of them are before your time. You just hear stories about them. It's pretty amazing how the Lord provided even this site, the ability to build here, commitment of people to build here, and add the other one on. If you could think about the number of hours and commitment of people to make that happen, you're enjoying the benefits to this day. But the benefits are only there if we love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. And as a result of that, also show that love to others. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Trust God enough to commit time, money, and energy in worshiping and serving God. Confess and deal with sin in your life. Commit to worship and serve in your local church. Be a follower. You know, there was a phrase that went around for quite a long time. What would Jesus do? It's a good question to ask ourselves if we're going to be a follower. What's he tell us to do? And the Bible describes that in very practical ways about all aspects of our life. Be obedient to God in daily life. That means it's got to be lived out in your family, lived out in your school, lived out in your work. The wholehearted, loving obedience is appropriate and a source of blessing at any age. You know, we sometimes, when I say this, we say, well, okay, that's for, well, Hezekiah is 25, that must have been the perfect age, right? Jesus said, among other things, even a little child shall lead them. Childlike faith, one of the great examples of wholeheartedness. You know, Samuel was a little boy left by his mother at the temple. But it says about Samuel that Eli told him, you know, when the Lord calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. And he listened. And the summary about Samuel's life at the end says, and the Lord was with Samuel as he grew. Even in the Lord Jesus' life, you see his wholehearted commitment at 12 years old. What did he say? I got to be about my father's business. But his father's business meant he went back home and listened to his parents and grew in wisdom and stature and commitment. And you don't really hear about him again for another 18 years, but he was growing. David and Mary were teenagers when it was said of them, you know, Mary says, I'm your willing servant. David was a man after God's own heart that nobody else paid attention to, but he had a heart for God. How old were the disciples? Those sold out, committed guys? You know, especially in our country where we're getting an older population, we forget how young those guys were. They were in their 20s somewhere, committing to the Lord in the midst of the difficult, busy circumstances of life. But they were sold out for the Lord. At the same end, remember when Jesus is born and they take him into the temple, who shows up? Simeon and Anna, well up in years, near the end of their life. But what were they looking for? We love the Lord and we want to see, what a blessing to see his provision and to know that his salvation is here at hand. What I want to challenge you with today is this little reminder and from the life of Hezekiah, there is no greater joy than knowing that you are loved by God and wholeheartedly responding in love to him. That's a great position of blessing. I'm loved by God. All the different things you do in life, we get all excited and committed to all sorts of different things. There is nothing more exciting than walking with God. And we lose that in the busyness of life. And we miss out on the blessings that are a part of walking wholeheartedly with the Lord and heeding his commandments and watching him work. That's what Hezekiah saw. And for the next 14 years of his life, everything was great. But there's the rest of the story, and you'll hear some of that in weeks to come. Let's pray. Father, may we heed your command to love you wholeheartedly. And we know that you give that command because it's that relationship with you, that loving relationship that is the heart of all that we say and that we do. May you work in our hearts and lives to draw us back to yourself and to bring that joy back in our midst, not only individually, but allow us to be a source of blessing to each other and to the community around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing this last hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. In 395, we'll sing first, third, and sixth verse. Take My Life and Let It Be, first, third, and sixth.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moment and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Verse 3,
take my voice and dismissed.